Hey guys, I'm Calvin L. Williams, and this is Documenting the Journey. We talk to operations and thought leaders about what are their greatest challenges, what they did to overcome, and what are they most excited about for the future. Join us on this journey and run a better business, create more value, live a better life, and be inspired by the spirit of continuous improvement.
I have the privilege and the honor to be here with the visionary, the coach, the strategist, the international speaker, world renowned, Deandra Wardell. How you doing, Deandra?
I'm doing well, Calvin, and thank you for that introduction. I was like, wow, who is he talking about? And I was like, oh, he's talking about me.
yeah, that's you. I mean, that's what they're saying in the streets anyway. That's what they're saying in the streets.
Well, you know what? I'm with you when you're right. I agree with all those things. And if the streets are talking, let them keep talking.
I hear that. So you just coming fresh off of hosting KataCon 7. Man, tell me about that a little bit. I know that was those things are nerve wracking, but you nailed it. You put it on a clinic. Tell me about it.
Well, let me tell you what, it was truly a collaboration and a team effort. So grateful to the Lean Frontiers team and their behind the scenes work to ensure that, you know, everything went well from a technological standpoint and ensuring I had all the information I needed to be a successful co-host. And then I got to co-host with Tilo Schwartz. And Tilo is a giant in the, not only in the continuous improvement community, but definitely within the Kata community. And he just has a great energy. He's so humble, very knowledgeable, very experienced learner and improver, as well as a coach.
Yeah.
And so just, you know, playing off of and feeding off of his energy, It was a great experience. And one of the goals Tilo and I had is that, you know, this was the very first virtual KataCon conference. And we wanted to make sure that people walked away feeling like it was in person, that they weren't just sitting and looking at a screen for several hours, but they really were able to experience what it feels like being face to face at one of the Lean Frontiers kind of conferences. And I believe, based on the feedback, as you say, based on what they're saying in the streets, I believe that goal was accomplished.
Yeah. So y'all had the breakout rooms, y'all had the sort of the more interpersonal sessions and all that stuff. So that was fun. It was different. It did feel, have a little more live feel to it where, you know, you go to a live event, you really, a big part of the reason why you go is for the networking, right? You're looking for those serendipitous moments where you're meeting the Mike Rothers and the, you know, some of the other big names, people you've heard of, but didn't, you know, otherwise would never have a chance to meet in person. So, yeah, I thought so. It's one thing to do a conference. It's another thing to do it virtually. That's a whole nother set of challenges to work through. But you guys put on quite a show, I think. As a speaker, I had a great time, but as a visitor and a fan, I had a phenomenal time. Yeah.
Well, you touched on the other key parts of what made KataCon a success. One, the speakers. You and the other keynote speakers were phenomenal. And you can tell that you put in work. Your presentation specifically was very creative, and that you did a panel interview.
Yeah.
And you brought in people who you worked with, members of senior leadership.
Right.
And, you know, that is an audience that people are always talking about, especially among the Kata community.
Right.
How do we reach the senior leaders? So you were able to show in real time, you know, and have, you know, those persons on to share their experiences. So I think that made it more meaningful.
Yeah, good.
Really grateful for the presenters. And then not only that, the participants, because like you said, that the networking is what makes KataCon such a phenomenal experience.
Yeah.
And having people like, you know, Julie Simmons and, you know, Tracy Defoe in the chat answering questions, and even Mike Rother, you know, responding to questions. And I felt like we were able to dialogue and engage even more in this virtual space than perhaps we would have been able to do in person.
Yeah,
which
totally
was really weird, but it was a great experience.
Yeah, I agree. Totally agree. So that's incredible. And thank you for that. Tell me more about your background as a professional and what really got you into continuous improvement, because you've got an interesting mix of strategy, HR, and the people side of business, but also continuous improvement. So give me a little bit of flavor of your journey from Western Kentucky University, right, on up to sort of where you are now as a CI pro.
Sure. So what an interesting journey and experience it has been. And I'll give you the Cliff Notes version.
Yeah.
But basically, you know, my continuous improvement experience started as a child. Although my parents are not formal lean practitioners, they're not certified, you know, they're not master black belts, but the tenets of continuous improvement was introduced to me as a child.
Wow.
Always looking for ways to improve processes and definitely respecting the humanity that's within others. And so, you know, we had standard work, you know, in our chores. You know, I didn't realize it was 5S at the time, but my mom and dad definitely taught there's a place for everything and everything in its place. So that was instilled in me, like I said, early on.
Are you a continuous improvement coach, practitioner, or operations leader who just aren't seeing the results that you want to see from your continuous improvement efforts? You've been to the conferences, you've read all the books, you've used the tools, but you're just not getting the anticipated benefit. Perhaps your teams need to develop the habit of daily improvement. That's right, the habit of making improvements on a daily basis. If this sounds like you, then you should try the Improver Challenge. Within 30 days, develop the habit of daily improvements led by a certified continuous improvement coach. After you've succeeded the challenge, you can then become certified as a coach as well and get paid to coach others to develop this life-changing habit. And not only that, you can use the awesome Improver technology to help develop this capability throughout your enterprise and for your clients. Visit us online at improver.com. That's IMPRUVER.com to set up your free account and get started immediately.
But then professionally, you know, well, even before I started my career, I've always had a curious mindset. I've always wondered why processes operated the way they did. And is there a way to improve them? And how could I collaborate and form teams to help make that process better? And so there, you know, just are a number of stories of things where I worked, even like as an elementary school student, to improve processes.
Yeah.
And so fast forward, you know, after leaving the Hill, Western Kentucky University, I have a diverse background. I've done everything. I've sold insurance. I've been a branch banking manager for one of the most highly successful branches at PNC Bank, based in Louisville, Kentucky.
Very cool.
I've been in retail. I managed two clothing stores. One clothing store was assigned to me that was failing. And it was given to me kind of as, you know, just something for me to practice with and gain more management experience. And again, ask those questions, how can we make things better? How can we make this a better experience for the customer? And although I was the store manager, I really believed in inquiring from my team and us collaborating and figure out how we could do things better. We turned the store around. It ended up being ranked one of the top 10 stores in the nation.
Oh, boy.
And,
you know, knowing what I know about you, I'm not surprised by that, actually. I was curious. I was wondering where you got your marketing chops from, because you certainly have a knack for getting the message out and reaching people the way you want to. So I'm assuming maybe that came from your retail background, or, you know, where'd that come from?
That may have come from retail. Again, it may have been, you know, from when I was in school. I've always ran for class officer, senior class president, had a huge major campaign team marketing and all
Wait
that kind of stuff.
Do I hear like governor of Indiana somewhere in the near future? What is this? What am I hearing?
No. I have, it's so funny that you mentioned that. I have been approached about pursuing a career in government.
Really?
I don't see that as my lane.
Okay.
you know, how I see intersecting with the government is I feel like we all have a role that we can play.
Yeah.
And holding our elected officials accountable.
Yes, we do.
And being knowledgeable about, you know, the policies that are being implemented and the laws, and getting involved in whatever way we can to make sure the things are working and operating in such a way that it's beneficial for people. So the closest I see myself getting involved in government is the work that we're doing through Root Cause Racism.
Uh-oh, I was just about to go there. So, all right, so you opened up the can of worms. For the record, it was her, not me, okay?
You know I was going to bring it up eventually, because it has to.
It's only right. So, right. Hashtag Root Cause Racism. You certainly have an activism streak in you, right? Mm-hmm. I think if you're a continuous improvement pro, you got to have that. You got to see the problems and be willing to have the courage to stand up and do something about it. So you're hitting the nerve. I mean, in the last year and a half or so, this has been a national conversation, but you've brought it to the continuous improvement community with Root Cause Racism. So tell me more about where that came from and what's next for that.
Well, you know, you've already provided a great intro for me to describe that, because as continuous improvement professionals, there is something about us. There is this justice conscience that we have, that when we see things that are not right, we're motivated to act. We're motivated to speak up.
There it is.
And that was the motivation for hashtag Root Cause Racism. So prior to the events, the pandemics of 2020, you would have Facebook DeAndre Wardell. Then you would have LinkedIn, Twitter, you know, the other social media platforms where I was a little more conservative. And so on my personal Facebook page, I was very outspoken with just how impatient and how unnerved and aggravated I was about what was going on with social justice and with structural racism. And I love a good hashtag. And so I kept, you know, saying, this makes no sense to me. Why can't we get to the root cause of what's happening with what we see, you know, on our TV screens, what we're witnessing, you know, with the murders and the innocent killing of people, you know, the inequities in healthcare. Why can't we make this better? Why can't we get to the root of it? And I just start putting hashtag root cause racism. And it got to a point that some days, like, you know, whatever was the most recent news clip that was just totally unnerving, some days I would just say, you know, all I have to say today is hashtag root cause racism. We have to figure out a way to get, you know, to move this needle. And what I noticed is that on LinkedIn, there was very little conversation, very little chatter among the continuous improvement community about, you know, what we were seeing, with, for example, the murder of George Floyd, the murder of Breonna Taylor. And at the time, especially, you know, since we were entering into the sheltering in place with COVID, I was not able to protest, be out in the streets protesting, although I support, you know, those who were out there doing the work of the peaceful protest. So I determined that, you know what, my social media sites would become my streets of protest. And from there, I just started raising the conversation and, you know, hoping to engage members of the continuous improvement community to figure out, how can we come together? How can we use these methods that have been proven, these practices, where we see organizations have gone through, you know, significant transformational change and they've been able to sustain it? Why can't we take that back to why can't we take that to the streets and dismantle and address what we see going on with structural racism? And so that, what started out as tweets and comments and posts, opened up an invitation. An invitation was extended to me by Mark Graben to be able to share his blog and have a larger platform to kind of share my thoughts and concerns about what was going on or with race and race relations at the time.
That's
when I invited some other colleagues, and that started the first blog series, you know, sharing our visions and voices to root cause racism. And the intro blog, I pinned that one, and it was about how the steps of the improvement kata can be applied to addressing systemic racism.
Wow.
And as a result of that series, that series and the concluding panel webinar, I was like, you know what? Yeah, this is something pretty serious. This is a movement.
It is.
I resigned from my job and decided that this work of using the applying what I know and what I've experienced and what I've taught and what I've shared about continuous improvement, specifically the Toyota Kata, how that not only can help people accomplish whatever their visions and dreams or whatever they aspire to achieve, but it can also be used to address structural racism.
Wow. And
a few months later, here we are.
That is powerful, man. And it's so inspiring to hear that you're willing to take the step off the plank of the corporate safety net to make this your life's work, because mm-hmm. it takes a special kind of person. Obviously, the passion is immense. And just looking out of your window and seeing the need to really invest in this and going mm-hmm. for it. So, I wish you a million years of success with that.
Thank you. Thank you.
You and I talked about this a little bit last time we caught up. And it's also something I'm very passionate about, right? I would love the idea of like a racist tax. You know, if you do some racist stuff, you got to pay a little extra.
Now, you listen. As you said that, my head started to lean a little bit like, you're giving me some ideas. I would love that. Yeah.
Yeah. And honestly, I think a lot of it comes from this false narrative of, certain kind of people are prone for certain kind of behavior and stuff like that. And growing up in South Chicago, where, in some areas not far from where I live, the life expectancy was 21 years. Mm-hmm. People look at me and what I've done, they say that wasn't supposed to happen. And unfortunately, it wasn't. Unfortunately, it wasn't supposed to happen. Unfortunately, it's not happening nearly enough, right? There's a lot of really brilliant, talented people whose talent doesn't reach anywhere near its potential because of the circumstances. And, in my view, growing up in that setting, is you got a few options. You either got to be real good with the jump shot, you got to be awesome on the microphone, or you can go the other route and sell drugs and join a gang and stuff like that, right? A lot of kids growing up, those are the options they see. Not a lot of great role models. And in my view, that's just, the economy is so diverse, so many channels that you can go. There are career paths that are tailor-made for who you are, and being who you are is perfectly fine, even if you don't have those the killer jump shot or the skills on the mic. There's still many channels for you to travel and do well in life. And I think those economic opportunities just aren't presented, right? It's just not so apparent. So I'm a big advocate of building those type of opportunities right there in those communities, so people can grow up and see that, you know what, there's a million ways to do this and legit ways to do this. And those positive role models can remain there in the community.
You know what, Calvin, we're, just all over the place. And so now listening to your story, I think it's important that people who others view who have made it or successful, that we share the hills we've had to climb.
Yeah.
And you talk about the statistics and the projections. So I'm thankful in that I am a product of a family who, from the day I was born, I've always been told, you have greatness within you.
Yeah.
You can do anything you set your mind to.
That's amazing.
Don't let the fact being that, that you're plus size, that you're Black, that you're a woman, don't let any of that hold you back. And I've always been thankful that that has been my community. And like I said, that's been part of my family. And I think about how when I was in college, I had a professor. When I first started, I received a full journalism scholarship.
Awesome.
And I was studying public relations. And I was told that by a professor that I needed to change my degree because no one would ever hire someone who looks like me. And he was emphasizing my size. No one would ever hire me to be the face of their company. And I remember, going back down the hill, my best friend, Lisa Griggs, rest her soul. And I just, was like, I just can't believe this. And she poured into me and reminded me of the same things that my family had told me, the visions that we shared about the greatness that's before us. And she was like, don't let that be your stopping point.
No.
On the converse, I had another professor who said, DeAndra, you're very talented. You know, it was one of my communication professors. And he said, you should change your major because you're limiting yourself with public relations. You need to pursue another degree where you can broaden your territories. He said, because I see you having a global reach. Yep. And I was like, well, okay. And so I did that. And the reason I'm saying that, fast forward, even in my corporate career, you know, before I resigned, I had been recently promoted as the chief strategy officer within the organization. But, you know, with what was going on in the climate, and especially the Breonna Taylor story really hits home with me, because being a Louisville resident, and in her face, I see, you know, an image of my loved ones, which is the same for Lando Castile and Sandra Bland. At any point in time, DeAndra Wardell could be a hashtag. And what people have said is, well, DeAndra, you're educated, you're successful, you do this, you do that. So what? You know, those same type of things that have happened to others could happen to me. Absolutely. So I said all that to say, with all those experiences I just shared, what's important with this work that I'm doing now with the continuous improvement piece of strategic vision boards, I want to introduce people to their purpose, connect them to their purpose. And, you know, for the folks that told me, DeAndra, you can do anything you set your mind to, I want to instill that in others.
Wow.
And then with the root cause racism work, removing those barriers and exposing more people to what continuous improvement can help you do, you know, to, again, you know, help to address those inequities we see in healthcare, and, you know, to totally obliterate that, you know, prison pipeline, you know, that's set up in our, within our school systems.
Yeah.
And, you know, this work is about lifting while I climb. You know, nice. I'm thankful for where I've come from. I'm thankful for my valleys and my mountaintop experiences. But I feel like all of that combined has put me at this spot in this moment to help others, you know, accomplish whatever their heart's desire is, whether it's personally or from a professional standpoint or corporate strategy.
That is so incredible. There's so much to unpack there. It's unfortunate this is only a 30-minute show, because I want to go deep into everything you just hit. but we definitely got to do this again and hit.
Sure.
And that's, every one of those is his own show. So what I do want to hit on, right, and you sort of touched on it a little bit already, is with your background, the unique recipe that is DeAndra, right? It's strategy. And obviously, you got to be a strategic thinker for you to get where you are, right? Already, you know, and I can totally identify with that. There's the human resources aspect, and then there's the continuous improvement component, right? That's three things that not everybody can make the connection to the relationship between those three things. How do you draw the connecting points between those three things?
So the connecting points to those three things, and I'm going to add a fourth one, and that's diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Yes.
It comes through, I connect them all from going from dreaming to doing.
There it is.
Because no matter what, everyone has a vision, whether it's an individual, personal, like I said, if it's a strategic vision of an organization tied to their mission statement or why it is the company decided to do business, it all starts with a vision. But you have to go from dreaming to doing. You have to go from vision to tactics. You have to go from the excitement about whatever it is that you want to accomplish to the execution of getting it done. And so I think those four areas of expertise and my experience that you mentioned, you know, I've been on the ground doing this work. I've been doing it with nonprofits, different volunteer organizations in a corporate setting, and women's groups with youth and children, you know, fraternities, sororities, you name it. I've been in those spaces taking all of my experiences, all my knowledge, all my education, and helping people go from dreaming to doing. The vision to the tactics and the excitement to the execution.
Say a dream without a plan is a wish, right? Something like
that's that. That's it. And really, and it's a nightmare, because, you know, one my biggest fears is all these dreams, all this greatness, all these things that I desire to do.
Yeah.
What a shame it would be for me, you know, to pass off this earth and none of those dreams ever come to fruition. And everyone has like that greatness, that vision, that dream inside of them. And, you know, I'm a dream miner. I want to pull that out of folks and those dreams to become reality, because it helps to make our world a better place.
It really goes
back to continuously improving.
It goes demonstrating
respect for people.
It's like, okay, you got a dream. It goes beyond you can do it. It's you need to do it. You need to do it. It is imperative. Yes. It is mission critical. You need to do it. Go do it, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so what are you excited about? What's coming down the pipeline for DeAndre that you're really excited to see coming?
So what I am so excited about is, as a result of co-hosting Codacon, I had all of these micro learnings. These are epiphanies, these small things that I wanted to do, and they have blossomed into some greater ideas. So one thing that I'm really excited about coming up is where I've been doing these strategic vision board workshops, where my vision board workshops are different because they, what's embedded in it is the continuous improvement mindset, that visionary lean thinking, teaching the concepts of lean and guiding people how to accomplish their visions. And so I will be introducing a strategic vision board cohort where it's going to be an extended beyond the very first vision board workshop, where it's building a community of accountability to work with groups to help them meet their goals.
Wow.
So I'm really excited about that.
Very cool.
And then the thing that I'm really hyped about is where I talk about applying the Toyota Kata, the Improvement Kata, Coaching Kata, to the work of diversity, equity, and inclusion. I'm collaborating with two fellow colleagues in the Kata community to develop what we're calling it the DEI Dojo.
Uh-oh.
And what that is about is the diversity, equity, and inclusion statements that we see on the websites and, you know, the statements that come out, those are great.
Yeah.
But let's go from statement to structure.
Uh-oh.
Let's start doing some action and some activities around the anti-racism work that needs to be done.
Those
are the two things that I'm super excited about, because that connects back to my purpose of creating a world of problem solving.
Yeah. Okay.
So
if I had a few more minutes, I would love to pick your brain about what's going on in Georgia with Coca-Cola pulling out and then the MLB pulling out and all that stuff. Because I see some strings being connected there. So
absolutely.
All right, but we'll have to circle back on that one too. Hold that thought.
Well, there's something coming up for that too. That's a little further down the road as part of one of the future Root Cause Racism blog series, where we're going to touch on everything, not only what's going on in Atlanta, but what is going on with voter suppression across the country.
There it is. Dang. Okay. Well, I'm gonna just make it official right here, right now. Whatever you need me to do, count me in. Just let me know. You know, shoot
me
a text.
You're already part of the team. Yes.
I'm in.
You're part of the team.
Count me in, coach. Put me in the game.
Absolutely.
Excellent. So what are you reading right now? What would you recommend that we take a look at?
Okay. So actually, I'm reading two books right now. One of them is a reread, and it's the Toyota Kata Culture.
Oh.
And I'm revisiting that because this work of working with organizations to, you know, get alignment and action with these diversity statements, you know, ties back to creating a learning organization, creating opportunities for people to practice and develop new skills and new behaviors.
Good.
Exercising that DEI muscle that they may not have any experience in using. So I'm using I'm revisiting the Toyota Kata Culture book to provide some guidance and direction on that.
Excellent.
I'm also reading this book. It's called A Free Thinking Leader's Guide to the Real World, Nine Lies About Work. And what I'm reading this one, this was recommended by a Kata friend, Dorsey Sherman.
Dorsey's
phenomenal.
She is.
I really want to understand the frustration and dysfunction that leaders and those on the front line experience in the workplace. And then, you know, what do we need to do to create these environments that capitalize on the creativity that's within every individual?
Ooh.
And, you know, how we can create these environments to help teams thrive.
Interesting.
And so those two, I'm reading those two because, again, that ties into, you know,
I gotta make a shameless plug. Just today I was on a Fluke webinar series talking about the exponential power of daily improvement, right? I'm a big, big fan, advocate of daily improvement. And one of the topics we hit was how companies are leaving right brain, the creative brain, the innovative brain, almost dormant in a lot of their people. It's almost like coming up with ideas is reserved for, it's a privilege of leadership, right? The leader comes up with the ideas and everybody else just executes, where it's almost like you're leaving half of your brain trust untapped.
Absolutely.
Right? You can get twice as much out of people by learning how to leverage their creativity to advance the business agenda. So,
well, and what I was going to say, listen, I'm not trying to turn this your 30-minute podcast into a 2-hour one.
Oh, it's about to happen. It's about to happen.
Okay. But look at the work that's taking place in Toyota. You know, what is it that they say that of course they want people to have, you know, cars that are safe and that they can enjoy, but what's their main focus is to engage their employees, to get them thinking, to tap into that creativity.
There it is.
And, you know, and again, that's a whole other topic in and of itself.
Yes, it is.
About the opportunities we miss because of the creativity that is stifled in the workplace.
Yep.
Another reason why I'm such a huge proponent of practicing the improvement and coaching kata.
There it is. It's almost like, hey, bring your left brain, your logic brain, your execution brain, and leave the other side at home, right, when you get to work. So,
right.
But that's destructive, right, especially in the long run. So, all right, cool. Unfortunately, we got to wrap it up. It's been such a pleasure. I feel like we can keep going. I feel like there's another hour and a half here to unpack. How can people get a hold of you if they want to learn more about you, join your movement, and just get more involved with the work you're doing?
The best way to stay connected with everything that's going on in DeAndra Wardell's world is to go to my website, DeAndraWardell.com. DeAndraWardell.com. And subscribe so that you can get the emails, the newsletters. You will be the first to find out about everything that's going on in the continuous improvement space with what I'm doing with the strategic vision board workshops, as well as the diversity, equity, and inclusion work. And then, of course, all of my social media links are there as well. But the best thing to do is to follow me or subscribe to my website.
Hit the website. That's the way to do it. Man, it is I'm such an honored and pleasure to have you join me today. All good things must come to an end. Thank you so much for doing this. This was fun. We got to do it again. Let's do it again soon. Otherwise, have a fantastic day, and we'll see you guys soon.
Thank you guys so much for joining us today. This episode was brought to you by the good folks at Improver Technologies. If you like the show, you can find more just like it at improver.com. That's improver.com, where you can learn more, do more, teach more, and transform your world. Thanks again. We'll see you soon.